Bobby Casper joins us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, Real Golf Radio. He's our golf guy. He's Mr. Golf. Real Golf Radio's got a good podcast out right now from a couple days ago on June 11th with Bobby and Brian Taylor talking about LIV Golf, among other things. And that's, of course, one of the big topics as the U.S. Open gets underway starting tomorrow. Hi, Bob.
How you doing, Ian? Hey, you need to keep that one permit on a drop. Okay.
It's there. I had to have Kevin dig it out. It's our favorite guy.
Why are you so pissy?
Yeah, yeah. That's actually. It's probably could have asked that to Phil on Monday during his news conference, right?
Why are you so pissy?
Was he surly or not or what?
He's on the defensive. He's on the defensive, Bob.
Oh yeah. When you turn your back on your fellow players and go grab $250 million, then. You're gonna have some guys not being too nice to you, I don't think.
Let's walk through that a little bit. We'll get to the tournament itself, the U.S. Open, in a moment. As someone who has been around this game his entire life, worked around this game in his entire life, whose father is one of the legends, a Hall of Famer, and Billy Casper, a Masters champion, among others, you understand this golf world better than all of us weekend hacks. I'll let you put it into words. LIV Golf and what it's trying to do, what it's trying to accomplish, and what it's doing. Just your thoughts.
You know, there's quite a few things that are going on with all of this. First of all, the Saudis are infusing $2 billion into this golf tour right now to try to, sake of a better word, sports wash and turn people's opinions of them a little more favorable, considering what has transpired over the years with their politics and the way they treat people and that kind of thing. So that's the first thing. Then you got Greg Norman that comes into the mix, and Greg Norman has been, since the mid-90s, has had a bad taste in his mouth regarding the PGA Tour because he wanted to create a world tour, which is what he's trying to do right now again. But he wanted to create a world tour, went and met with players, Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, and nobody signed off on it. And the PGA Tour came in and said, oh, we'll create the World Golf Championships, which they did about four or five or six of them a year. So he's not happy about that. Well, now this comes along, and it gives him an opportunity to have fully funding for – to try to lure the best players in the world to come over and play LIV golf under a 48-player format with four-player teams, 12 four-player teams. And they had their first event last week. It's a money grab for the guys that have decided to defect. You know, Phil Mickelson, $250 million. Dustin Johnson, $150 million. Bryson DeChambeau, $150 million. I don't know what the other guys are getting, but they're getting somewhere between $30 and $100 million apiece. There's, what, almost 20 guys now on the PGA Tour that have decided to go take the money. And so the PGA Tour came out and suspended them. And even if they resign their membership, you know, if they're part of the LIV, that's where it's going to be. They're suspended. And I think the big thing, Ian, is coming in April. The next two events, as far as majors are concerned, are the U.S. Open this week that starts tomorrow and the Open Championship. There's not a lot they could do about those right now because, you know, entries have already gone in and all that kind of thing. But April's going to be a big one with the Masters.
Let me jump in there for that, Bobby. What do you think? You have a relationship with the Masters. You understand Augusta National with your dad being a past champion there. You've been there every year for I don't know how many years, not named COVID.
Yeah.
That's an invitational. What do you think the climate is? What do you think the climate is for them, for Augusta National? I mean, they're kind of I would almost put it in the sense of they're leaders in some ways.
Well, they are. The big names in golf right now are Fred Ridley and Tiger Woods. And Tiger Woods turned down an upper nine-figure offering from LIV Golf to go play there. And in my opinion, if, you know, everybody can be bought at some point, but they'd have to give Tiger pretty close to $1 billion to get him to jump. Jack Nicklaus didn't go for $100,000.
$100 million for Jack.
Yeah, $100 million. That's what I meant. Yeah, sorry. But yes, Fred Ridley's the other guy. He's the guy in the driver's seat right now. He's got all the big names or the big organizations in golf that are looking at him because there's six guys that are past champions, and they get to play every year no matter what at the Masters. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with those guys, but they can change the criteria because it is an invitational, as you said. They can do away with world ranking points. They could say to those six guys, you're not a member of any major tour or any recognized tour, so you can't play. Or until you don't play with LIV anymore.
Do you think they'll do that? Bobby, do you think they'll do that?
I don't know. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, but I don't know. I really don't.
I just think if you're Augusta National and you've tried to make strides over the years with inclusion for the game, and one of the things we know about the Saudi government is that's something that they are certainly not a part of, is inclusion of any way,
exactly,
shape, or form.
Exactly.
But women membership, minority membership at Augusta, which used to not exist, which now does. I think they're in a situation, especially with sponsorships and everything else. I really hope that they continue to move forward and do take the lead. And I know there's been battles in the past about past champions and when they could and couldn't play. I know your father went through that and others.
Right.
I hope they go down that road because you're right. Everyone has a price and those guys do. Let's talk about the tournament and coming up in front of us.
Okay.
Listen, the drama involved, and one of the best things about sports is when you have some drama, you have some rivalries. Rory McIlroy is making no bones about it, man. He's the guy riding in on the white horse, the white hat. Here we go. I'm the hero to everybody. Yep. He's motivated. He's playing great golf. It's been a long time. What is it, 11 years since Rory won the U.S. Open. Is he the leader in your mind going into this? Is he your favorite?
I think he's one of. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The other guy that's the sounding board, not quite as big as he is Justin Thomas. He and Justin Thomas have taken the flag and are kind of running with it for the PGA Tour as representatives. I think Dustin Johnson or Justin Thomas is another one that has a really good opportunity. This golf course is interesting because it's only 7,250 as far as distance is concerned. Last year at Torrey Pines, it was almost 7,700 yards, so 450 yards longer. And this golf course has a lot of right-to-left tee shots. So because of that, Rory hits it right-to-left. Xander Schauffele hits it right-to-left. JT hits a fade. Schauffele hits a fade. Jordan Spieth hits a fade. Cantlay hits it right-to-left. The guys that are hit it right to left are going to have a little bit of an advantage, but listen, they're the best players in the world, and they will figure this golf course out and do what they need to do, even if their predominant shot is left to right. But I think Rory, if you want me to tell you the two, I think Rory and Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele has played 5 or 6 U.S. Open championships and has never finished outside the top 10. So I think this would be a really good golf course for him.
Bobby Casper joining us, Real Golf Radio here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. So as we're watching this tournament, what jumps out at you with this golf course, in a day and age in which, it started with the tiger-proofing of Augusta and other courses along the way,
right,
this golf course in your mind, this is not about length. This is about hitting the ball straight. And there's a lot of blind shots, I believe, as well. There's a number of blind tee shots here as well.
Yeah.
So you have to trust your shot. You have to trust the angle of your ball, but this is more about hitting a ball straight and accurate than trying to just murder it down the fairway or murder it down the course and worrying about playing a short, rough shot later.
Yeah, aggressive play is not going to bode too particularly well on this golf course because of the way the golf course is set up, as you said, with blind shots and different levels of the fairways and all that kind of stuff. You've got to hit the ball in the fairway. You've got to hit greens. You've got to chip and putt. The USGA has got a golf course right now that does everything that they want to identify the U.S. Open champion for the year, and that is you've got to do those great things, fairways, greens, chipping and putting, and be able to physically and mentally handle the pressure of being put under that rigor of a U.S. Open and the difficult conditions.
I don't know how people think. Kevin's a casual golf fan. I'll ask him. Kevin, if you just as someone who doesn't play the game a lot and just kind of more casual, if you're watching golf on TV, would you rather see guys shoot, you know, finish a tournament winning with a winning score of like 18 under, or would you rather see somebody closer to even par?
I've always said even par.
Yeah, and that's...
I know that they can all be really, really good.
Yeah.
Seeing them struggle and work to do something, that means way more to me.
And I think, Bobby, that's what this course is, right? It's going to be closer to... Yeah. Like a par will be a good score, which is always how the U.S. Open's been.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's a fair golf course. Like the greens are in good shape, you know, and all those things. Like it's fair, but it's going to be hard.
It's going to be fair. It's going to be hard. And I think somewhere around even par to five under par is probably going to be what we're going to see as the winner.
Oh, that's going to be fun. It's going to be absolutely. And especially if we get some drama with if DJ or somebody is on the LIV tour is playing there on Saturday or Sunday with JT or with Rory or even John Rahm was really outspoken yesterday about it as well.
I mean, yes,
I
love
John Rahm had great comments. His comments were, yeah, hey, man, like I could retire right now. In fact, here's John Rahm real quick.
I can retire right now.
Yeah, take a listen.
$400 million isn't going to do anything for me. I can retire right now and never play a round of golf again.
Yeah, here's John Rahm.
I do see the appeal that other people see towards the LIV golf. I do see some of the, how do I put this delicately, points or arguments they can make towards why they prefer it. To be honest, part of the format is not really appealing to me. Shotgun 3 days to me is not a golf tournament, no cut. It's that simple. I want to play against the best in the world in a format that's been going on for hundreds of years, right? So that's what I want to see. And yeah, money is great, but when Kelly and I, this first thing happened, we started talking about it. We're like, will a lifestyle change if I got $400 million? No, it will not change one bit.
I love that about it. And you know what? That's the bottom line, Bobby.
I love it.
Yeah, that bottom line is, they're playing exhibitions. There's no tradition. There's no history.
Yep.
You're playing an exhibition. You're playing in the USFL and not the NFL is what you're doing at that point. So
that's exactly right.
We will check in with you later in the week as the tournament gets underway, my friend. Always great to have you on. Appreciate the time, sir. Thank you.